My text is in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm sure that we probably all, some time or another, as we have been trying to find our way to some new place, perhaps in a new town, and have been given instructions how to get there, I dare say it must be in the experience of, if not all, probably most of us here tonight, the experience of getting lost. I do this with monotonous regularity. I think that my car mileage in Cardiff could quite easily be cut down by 2/3 if only I listened, if only I took notice to instruction and listened to which way to turn when I come to a T-junction or to a crossroads. Because, you see, it makes all the difference in the world. Say, shall I turn left or right? My left hand is not very far from my right hand. They seem to be very close to each other. The trouble is this, if you go one way, it's the opposite of the other. And I have found this very simple truth to be very accurate, very correct, and it can lead you hours astray, if not days, and if not forever, in some particular quests. And I'm sure you've had that kind of experience. It's a very frustrating thing. And sometimes in the country, when you come to a crossroads, and either the sign is worn, fallen down, you can put it up again. And trouble is, if you put it up, you don't know which way to put each direction. And you wonder, shall I go this way, or shall I go that way? And you realize it'll make a great difference to your journey, which side, which way you decide to go. The issue that I have before you tonight is really a matter of a crossroad experience. There are spiritual times in our lives as well. There are times in our lives when there are issues confronting us. Opportunities, in a way, to go one way or the other. I'm thinking particularly for you who are here tonight, perhaps, for the first time, and possibly for some, the first time away from home for any real length of time, and that you have the opportunity to do as you like, or it seems to be so. You're away from the influence of your parents and their guardian eye upon you, and there is a kind of a shaking off of all these ties, and you come to a new place, and you can go one of two ways. You can be faced with what you can call it freedom, if you like, terrible temptations in a city like this, even though it's only a small city, yet nevertheless it has the same sins as London, or of Paris, or of Berlin. There are terrible temptations that can face not only young people, but people of every age as well, and you have the opportunity to go that way. In a sense, it can be a critical time, one of the crossroad experiences for some of you who are here in this church tonight in that particular kind of circumstance. Or it may be that you have turned into this church, that you lived in Cardiff for many years. You've turned in here. And at this particular moment in your life, you're really going through it. It's as if there's a critical time. Which way shall I go? You might say, well, I can think about it next week. Yes, possibly you can, but you don't know. Because the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation, and that no man can boast of the morrow. So I'm only concerned about this minute, in this pulpit, in this church, at this moment. That is a vital thing, as far as you and I are concerned. And there are two ways. The Bible tells us of two ways. And I was reading the scriptures at the beginning, in the book of Proverbs, the very telling verses, which I think are, in a sense, are very closely linked to what I have tonight. It talks about the way of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. And there's another way. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Two ways. For a little while tonight, I'd like to ask your attention just to those thoughts of two ways. the way of the wicked and the path of the just. Firstly, in the way of the wicked. Now, I've deliberately chosen that, partly because it's in the book of Proverbs there as a title given for me already, but also because it's important that we should see that this way is a wicked way, the broad way that is talked about here. Now, you might say, well, that's rather off-putting. It'd be far better if you'd say an unfortunate way, an unwise way, a way of very nice people, albeit mistaken people. But let's call it by its proper name, the way of the wicked. I agree it's a very pleasant way. I agree it's a very tempting way, very pleasing way. But let's call it by its proper name, the way of the wicked. Now imagine that I come to this way and there is a signpost. If you look at the signpost, you'll find it's one of those signposts that seems to have such a lot of instructions, like those massive things we can see sometimes on a motorway. And on this particular signpost, it'll tell me all the things I want to know, all the things I desire, all the things my heart lusts for and secretly delights in. There I see them quite clear and open on this big signpost. There is only one thing that I complain about this signpost, that the destination has been obscured. Somebody has been along perhaps with some kind of paint, and not particularly for political reasons, but for other reasons, has daubed out its destination. And there I see, it must be all right because it has so many other pleasant places and nice places that I like and I'm familiar with. I think I will take that way. But you don't really take that way. We are on that way. All of us. We are born on that way. And that's where we are. That's where we live. And its destination will be ours unless we get off that way. So the choice really is of staying there or coming off it. Let's just look at scripture and how it's described. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go that way. What about this way? I can, there again in the mind or in my imagination, I can see something like this. It's a very nice way. And I can imagine a declaration being made by the Parliament of the day and saying, tired of restrictions. We're living in an age of freedom. We're living in an age when we've grown up as men and women and we understand each other and we realize more about ourselves than our fathers did. The first thing we will do on this Broadway, let us take down all unpleasant signs. You don't like unpleasant signs. Can you imagine us doing this in society today? There is those high voltage things that we see. Take the railings away. Take that awful danger sign in that glaring red paint away. It frightens people. Just leave it as it is. Or let's go to the beach. And we realize there is a treacherous current coming very near to the shore here. And why upset people? Why concern people about it? Let them enjoy themselves. Let them be free. Let us take away the warning signs. It is also when we see big motorways, why should children be warned? Why frighten them by saying that you must keep away from the motorway and you mustn't do this, you mustn't do the other? Why not let us have all the warning signs taken away and let's be free? Let's have that lovely feeling there is no danger. We mustn't have fear in our hearts and we mustn't teach people to fear. Ridiculous. We know it is important to have these signs up. It says sometimes, doesn't it, beware of the train, almost if it's going to snap at you like a dog, but nevertheless, it comes with alarming suddenness. Beware of these steps, because they are dangerous. Take care. What are they there for? They are not there to frighten me. They are there to help us, and to guide us. A long time ago, Satan persuaded the nominal church of Jesus Christ to take down her warning signs. It was a terrible thing to do because the end result of that is that many, many people knew not the terrible end of the Broadway and never realize the terrible deceptiveness of that wide gate and that Broadway, and many went to their destruction. It is my duty, unpleasant as it may be on the one hand, and yet hardly so, that I tonight just stand before you and tell you that there is a great danger here. We are living in dangerous times, we are living in a dangerous world, but not only that, there are spiritual dangers. Our souls are in danger, our hearts are in danger, and there is that terrible possibility that when we come to the end of our days, that we find ourselves as deceived souls and sinking into the abysmal depths of hell itself. And you can almost hear the cry of some, "No one warned me, no one told me." A warning is absolutely essential. Let's come then to this part of Scripture and look at this Broadway. It is a wide gate. Now, what do we mean by this? We haven't got to think of a gate particularly, as I say, we are on this roadway anyway. But what is meant to be conveyed here by a wide gate? I think it is this. And you can see it's so typical of the age we are living, or any age for that matter, the age that we are living now perhaps seems to fit so well. Wide gate. Wide open door. Haven't you heard them say very often, and perhaps it's much to our shame as well, that there is a tremendous friendly atmosphere in a public house as compared to a church. It should not be so. But there, it is true, nevertheless, there is a kind of friendliness and hilarity. I have never been in a public house. But what I mean by that, we hear the sound and the noise and the laughter and the happiness, and you feel, well, that seems to be a very jovial place. Seems a very happy place. Wide is the gate. And there is a happiness that the world is a past master at. It'll keep the people laughing, even in the worst of circumstances. And even when there are terrible tragedies going on around them, they can still go and have their amusement and their enjoyment and forget it all. I don't know how many times I have taken funeral services with people not connected with religion quite often, and they can't get quick enough to drown their sorrows. Can't get it quick enough. Why? We must be happy. Happy people, we don't want sadness, we don't want warnings, we don't want sorrows. Let us be happy. Wide is the gate. And then we are told here as well, it is a broad way. Something rather nice about that. I wonder how many here tonight like to think of themselves as broad-minded people. You might even regard yourself as a Christian and say, well, I'm not one of those narrow ones, I'm a broad-minded Christians. I'm liberal in my theology, I'm liberal in my views, I'm liberal in my life, I believe in this openness, I believe in this honesty. We are now unfettered from puritanical and Victorian influences. We have become free in this modern society, and we are happy. We can have views as we like without fear or favour from any man. Our behaviour can be as licentious as we like without any criticism of any notes from anybody. The way is broad, and you can walk along it and dance along it merrily, uncriticized by those who go with you. It is a popular way. Many there be that go that way. You won't feel an odd man out. You won't be lonely in that sense of the word. You can say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's going this way, course of this world. The masses of the people, in generations of people, and also nations of people, they are going this way. This is how Europeans behave. This is how Asiatics behave. Any part of the world, this is the way of the mass of the people. This new freedom on this broad way and this wide gate, it's great. And so it is well advertised. And the media of radio and television are frantically keeping pace with the broad way, the way of this world. Why the alarm then? This is why the alarm. This way is a deceptive way. It is deceptive from this point of view. Let us just take one or two little instances. On this broad way, we can say there is no such thing as morality, of being moral or immoral, immorality is either one or the other. We do not worry our consciences about that. There is freedom of physical contact. Yes, but it doesn't show the end of that. Even whilst they're on that road, the body becomes diseased. And even way before the body becomes diseased, relationships have lost their meaning. Integrity is a thing unknown. Honor is an alien word. Everybody's word is everything and nothing. Everybody's body is everybody's and nobody's. There we find on this Broadway, if you listen carefully to the people there, you hear the sound of weeping. Not weeping of repentance now, but those silent tears of the hearts of people so immersed in their sin that they know not how to be lifted up. Of sorrows accumulating as they have gone this broad way, and they find that it is a deceptive way. And we find ourselves today in a society where so very few families are happy. Where we find the family units almost destroyed, and a terrible and a ghastly loneliness in this so-called freedom entering into this so-called Christian country as we once knew. And we find that this broad way is an empty way and a deceptive way. But it goes on laughing, drinking, laughing, dancing, hilarious, and it drowns the sound of its sorrows and its sin by the music of its gaiety and its hilarity. It is a dangerous way. It is dangerous because of what it neglects. It pretends to be concerned for the individual with an intensive friendship and a care for me on the one hand, and yet it neglects that part of me that I dare not neglect, and that is my immortal soul. Now I would ask all of us here tonight to bear with me for this moment as I speak about this. Do you not know that this is so? Our little bodies, they age, oh, so rapidly. The passage of time so, so quickly goes. And our little bodies, they age. Yet I know, and you know as well, that in me and in you, there throbs that living thing, that my aching, aging, ailing body is too frail almost to contain. Your soul. What of my soul? A man cannot live aright. A man cannot fulfill the purpose of life, even in this world, if he merely takes notice of the casement and the enjoyment and the desires of the heart. It cannot be satisfying. I am sure you know that the person who is most blatant in his sin, most immersed in iniquity, that there must be times even in the most iniquitous heart when there is dissatisfaction with the sin of this world. We have a soul. Our immortal soul. This way is dangerous because it starves my soul. And it so has effect upon that in me that seem to long for God that as time goes on, a kind of an immunity and an insensitivity to the promptings of the Holy Spirit or the approach of the things of God. And I can find myself in that place where I no longer respond to Him. There is a warning in Scripture about this. That although, whilst there is breath, we take it that there is an opportunity for repentance and a day of grace, yet Scripture always also warns us it is not necessarily so, that there can come a time during our breathing life when our hearts became dead to any approach from Him. You read Hebrews 6. There is a solemn warning there. We dare not take anything for granted, least alone our days and our time. It is a destructive way, in that it leads to destruction. Let me come now to where I started. What is the warning that I'd like to talk about? It is that little part that somebody has put some paint over, and they don't want to see that little tiny word there. It is but a small word. What is the name of the town where this road will lead me to? It's such a happy road, it's a very attractive road. But tell me, what is the name of the place? And then if I look carefully, I'll see these terrible words. Hell! Ah, oh, the Church of Jesus Christ no longer preaches hell. Has not Satan given explicit instruction that it must be removed from our theology? It must be removed from our thinking. It must be replaced by a kind of way which is a mixture between the narrow and the broad. But all the time it is the broad. And do not emphasize that offensive word, hell. Yet Scripture teaches us most clearly that the broad way leads to hell. What is hell like? Like heaven, it is a place that you or I must wait to see what it's like. And I trust that we shall never see what hell is like. But we are given sufficient warning in Scripture and some detail to tell us something about the place of hell. It is a place. It is a place of those who have not believed on the Holy Gospel of Jesus Christ, where they will find themselves. It is a place described in Scripture in one verse, the outer darkness. It is a place, yet to us, a phrase is brought which is meaningful to us in this particular century. We think of outer space, and the void, and the blank there. A place of utter loneliness, although there are many there. Yet there is no fellowship there. Shall I tell you one of the reasons why there is no fellowship there? How can you be in a crowded place and no fellowship? Oh yes, you can. Can you imagine a soul in hell? There bitterly decrying the person next to him and feeling, why was I not told? Why did I listen to this person? Can you imagine the hatred of one to the other? The tearing at one another's souls? Can you imagine the dreadful attitude towards one another? Blaming and being blamed. Hating and being hated. Finding fault and being in fault. And all the while, in agony. There will be a wailing there and a gnashing of teeth. Do you ever gnash your teeth? It's not a very common thing in our experience, is it? There are times, maybe once or twice in your life, when you can remember almost grinding your teeth, maybe. It may have been in rage, or it may have been in pain, or in frustration. Well, in hell, they go on gnashing and gnashing their teeth. It is a place of utter misery. Now we have misery on this earth, I realize this, but it is relieved because we know that there is an end to it. And even without final illness, it is relieved because we know there is an end to it. Have you ever had very bad pain? Those kind of bad things, like, for example, like your back going on or something like this. It is of a kind of a pain you think, well, if this goes on, I can't stick it, it's terrible. But you are relieved by the fact that there is relief for your misery. But in hell, there is no relief. It is forever. We are also told in Holy Scripture that there is a gulf fixed. There is no reprieve. There is no sudden relaxation by God. And he says, these people have been here now for 10,000 or 10 million years. And I think now there is a termination to it all. I will overlook their insult to my grace and to the blessedness of my Son. No. There is a gulf fixed. And there is no traveling to and fro whatsoever at all. And the lost go to hell. The way is pleasant, or partly pleasant, mixed with sorrows, and the end is destruction. It's final, it's absolute,
and there is no pardon.
But we have a problem.
And the problem is this, that when you and I, as we are, find ourselves on the Broadway, that there is that in my heart, and the scripture confirms it also, there is a lust in my heart that likes these things. Because you see, although it may be called the way of the wicked, it doesn't look so wicked. It doesn't look so bad. They're nice. They're pleasant people. And their interests very often are very ordinary things. And this terrible deception is something that God must reveal to me. And there is that in my heart where I will go the way of all flesh. I will go the course of this world. I will naturally delight in these things. And it may be that I will not indulge to the degree that some will. That I will be moderate in these things. And Satan will compromise with me. Be moderate. You needn't be a bad sinner. You can just be an average kind of sinner. Enjoy yourself. And even use scripture. Prove, taste all things for yourself. The Broadway attracts my heart. There is that in all our hearts that clings to the Broadway. Now I have another problem. And the problem is this, that I am told in Holy Scripture in Ephesians 2 again, that I go the course of this world according to the powers of the prince of this air, Satan. Powers of evil. And Satan himself with his horde, enticing and drawing and blinding and deceiving and making evil appear not so bad. And making that which is destructive appear reasonably harmless. And even if I come to the point where I say, I must leave this way, he can even provide me with a postponement and say, leave it for a while, you're young and strong at the moment. However do people get off it? And however can a preacher ever persuade any young or old person to come off this most exciting, the sinful, pleasant, easygoing, broad-minded, permissive way to greater and lesser degrees according to how much we prefer to sin? It must be an act of grace. Nothing less. I'm putting it as black as it is in order to show it must be an act of grace. My dear friends, the very fact that you are in the church this night shows that something is happening in you. Then to close, the way of the just. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What am I learning here? God is speaking to our hearts and he says, there's another kind of life. Sometimes you may have seen a friend and you say, I like that friend. He's a very good person. There's something in him I admire. I can't be like that friend. And then I may have met a person who has witnessed to me regarding his Christian faith, and it stirred something in my heart. I'm hopeless, there's no hope for me, and yet there is something in me that would desire to be like that person. Then a preacher reads to me something from the Bible, and it's lovely. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Lovely words, they're poetic. They're more than that, they're beautiful. They're more than beautiful, they're pure. They're more than that, they come from God. And maybe a longing comes in my heart. Is it possible to be like that? Me? With my heart? With my life? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What do I see now? I see another signpost. It isn't as elaborate as that massive thing we had for the broad motorway that leads to hell, but it is honest. It is perfectly honest. It tells you to count the cost. It tells you to consider your ways. It tells you what you are like. But clearly on it, to heaven, to God. And it points from the midst of life to the heart of eternity, to heaven, to God. And we look at that sign, and I can almost hear a wistful heart maybe here tonight saying, I like that sign. I like that sign. Tell me more about it. What is this place on? What is this way? Straight is the gate. You'll know about this one. You're on the other way without realizing. But you'll know about this one. Your heart will squeeze through, straight as a gate. Narrow is the way. Look at the people. They're not like the broad way. Almost like butterflies going from, or bees going from one little honey, from one little flower to another in their haphazard little journey, wasting their time, as if, on sin to sin, fluttering to and fro. But these are purposeful. Their way is direct, hence narrow. It is without waste in their life. It is like without waste in time. A purposeful life, an aim in what they're doing, and on the narrow way of God. The end is life. How do you get on that way? To get on that way, to be on that way, the change is so radical from the broad way onto the narrow way that there must be a complete transformation. There must be a miracle that changes us completely. What I'm saying is this: there must be a new birth. Are you born again? It's as vivid as that. You cannot enter this way unless, as it were, he's saying, you start all over again in a way. You must be made anew. There must be regeneration. There must be a new life. There must be a new birth. So it isn't the old you having a go at a new little way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things become new. Well, a person might say, well, how can I become new? Nicodemus, when he was addressing the Lord Jesus Christ, had a burning question in his heart. And there's an element of sarcasm in his talk as well, maybe. But he comes as a man in full age, unresponsible, and knowing a great deal about religion, desiring to enter into this way, into this kingdom. And how could he enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus Christ tells him quite plainly, not improve your theology. I'm sure it could be improved. And not do this, that, or the other. And I'm sure he could have improved. But he said to him, you must be born again. He's horrified. Do you mean to tell me that a grown man like myself must shrink and become a little baby and go back into my mother's womb and be born? That thing's ridiculous. If you want to come on this way and into this kingdom, there must be a radical change. Yes, a new birth. Heaven is not filled with improved people, but is filled with new creations. By the mercy of God. Well, how is this possible? It is possible in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us gaze upon him for a moment. The loveliness of his person, who is he? He is the Son of God. It's a wonderful thing to know and to believe here tonight that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that he has entered into the time of this little planet, and that he's walked on this earth, his life pure and perfect, rose of Sharon, lily of the valley, fairest of 10,000 to my soul. All that and more. Powerful, able, mighty, eternal Son of God, Prince of Glory. Eternal Son of God, second person of the Trinity, equal in all things with God the Father and God the Son. This glorious Son of God takes on the form of a servant. Why? Not in order to amuse us, for as I say, pleasant, nice Jesus, but in order to save us, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And from beginning to end, it is a dirty and a hard business. He has to enter into the iniquity of filth itself. What does he do? He takes our sin upon us. And he takes the punishment of the triune God against sin and pays a penalty for sin on Calvary. It is a wonderful thing. It is a great thing. It is a true thing. He paid a penalty for sin. Why am I saying this? When sinners come to Jesus Christ, here we are with all the filth of the Broadway on us, and we come to this little notice of heaven, and I see it isn't a notice, I see it is a gate. It is not a gate, it is a person. Who is this person? It is Jesus. There, We cast our sorrows and our sin and all we are upon him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There are some trembling here, I know. Listen. To as many as received him, to them gave he power. Transformation from the dead to the living to become the sons of God. You are in him. You are in the straight gates. And you find that you have entered into the freedom or the wonder of God. They call it a narrow way. But you look at the way most carefully and you say, I have no regrets. Listen to that verse. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Ah, Christian, poor thing, you're on a narrow way. I'm on a safe way. I'm on a happy way. But ah, Christian, you are bereaved. I know. But he gave me grace in my bereavement. And he giveth more grace. Ah, Christian, you're not very well off. I know. But he giveth me grace. It is a lovely way. And it leads to life itself. What is heaven like? Have you ever tried to describe heaven? It is the home of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is peace there. It is also a place of security, a place of happiness. My loved ones are there, those who have gone on before in our families in Christ. They are there. There is identity there. We shall enjoy the loveliness of God with the loveliness of fellowship. There will be no bitterness there, or pain, or sorrow, or hunger, or thirst, or death. Heaven is a happy place. Hell lasts forever. Heaven is not dragged with time even. Not even pleasant time. Heaven is eternal. There is no weariness there. There is no tiring there. A word we cannot describe. It is above the clouds of time. Heaven is eternal. It is a new Jerusalem. A new heaven and a new earth. Nothing stale. Nothing old. It is fresh. It is exciting. Heaven is an exciting place. It is not boring. There are many mansions there. I don't know how many. Millions maybe. Exciting. Splendor upon splendor. Heaven is an exciting place. Heaven is a satisfying place. I shall gaze upon the Lamb and adore the triune God. And I shall gaze there, and as I gaze upon him, my soul, all I am, will feed as it were on him. He will lead me to the fountains of living waters. However happy we are here, we always say, it's very nice, but. Or of a person, he's very good, but there, he is excellent. He is supreme. The word but doesn't enter into heaven. It's left here on this little planet. And more. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you? Are you on that broad way? It leads to hell. You can find yourself pushed there with alarming rapidity when you thought you had many years to go. You find yourself there. You're on your way there. It is a deceptive, dangerous, terrible way. There is another way, the path of the just, that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. How can I get there? Come to Jesus tonight. Isn't that simple? Come to Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Glory, tonight. And you'll find yourself in him, on the way, all this and heaven too. May God grant that many this night shall by his grace call on him. Let us pray. O Lord, we turn to thee and ask thy blessing and pray thy Holy Spirit might strive with our souls for the sake of Jesus Christ.